Good morning. It is February 4th of 2016, and you've tuned into the KRFY Morning Show. This is Panhandle Community Radio, 88.5 KRFY. I am Lonesome Jack, your solo host in the Tiki Room this morning, broadcasting from downtown Sandpoint, where the snow continues to fall today, and will continue to fall, according to the National Weather Service, for the rest of the day. Our guests this morning are the players and holy smokes, we've got a whole studio full of players from the upcoming performance of Cold Feet, which is put on by the Unknown Locals. Let me tell you about the weather right now, and then we will introduce each person in turn. We'll go clockwise around the room so that listeners are not confused. There is snow continuing today until at least 10 a.m. and then continuing scattered snow showers between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. High near 36 degrees today and low of 30 degrees tonight with snow showers continuing. This looks like it's going to continue. This kind of weather pattern is going to keep going on all weekend long, with possible rain on Friday night, but otherwise rain and snow on Saturday and Sunday until the sun comes out on Sunday afternoon. And there is a high of 37 degrees next week. It's anyone's game, but it could be foggy on Monday, according to the National Weather Service. We have seven people in the studio right now, up from three when we started the show a few minutes ago. We are up to seven, and it's a full house. Let's get these microphones active here and start on the left to right on your radio dial. We will start on the far left with Chris Heron, and let's go around the room and just introduce yourselves.
So I am Chris Heron. I am one of the producers of Cold Feet, and I also wrote it.
I am Madeline Elliott. I am also a producer, and I am directing.
Hi, I am Nicole Barato. I'm one of the cast members. I play Molly.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike Clark again. I'm going to be playing the best man, Brian. How y'all doing?
I'm Tim Martin. I play the father of this motley crew.
And my name is Yarrow Frank, and I play the middle sister. It's a joy.
This is possibly the most people we've ever had in the studio, with maybe the exception of last time the Unknown Locals were in the studio. I think we had a pretty good turnout for that, too. So the play is called Cold Feet, and let's start with just the bare details. When and where can we see the show?
Will be the 12th, 13th, 19th, and 20th of February at the Heartwood Center, 615 Oak Street.
Okay. What is this play about? Who wrote this play?
I did. Guilty. Sorry.
There you go.
So the play is about kind of the worst case scenario for a wedding. It's about a couple who are getting married and every possible thing that could go wrong pretty much does. And both of them, the mystery of the play is whether or not anyone is suffering from cold feet. I don't think the title gives too much away, so I want to keep that mystery under wraps.
Okay. Do you, you wrote this play, has it ever been performed before?
No, this will be the first time it's ever been performed. It's the fourth original of mine that we've done as Unknown Locals in the last 4 years. So it's getting, I guess it's world premiere. It's Sandpoint premiere, to not sound too fancy, next week.
What is it? Is it a comedy?
It is a comedy. It's got a lot of levity and humor in there. A lot of Chris's plays have been kind of dark comedies, and this one is a little different in the sense that it is not so heavy. Mm-hmm. It's got they're all funny, but this one is funny in a different way.
Only funny if you laugh, though. If you don't come and laugh, it's tragic.
I want to talk to you two more about just unknown locals as a group, the formation of the group. But before I get into that, we should make sure we include all the actors here, which is is this the full cast or is there more? No.
There's more. Yeah. There's more.
I think we're missing two.
Yeah, believe
three?
It or not, some people couldn't
three
make
people.
It.
Okay.
Must be the snow.
This is North Idaho. Snow doesn't stop anything.
Oh, that's right.
Nicole, are you the are you playing the bride?
I am. I'm playing the bride. It's definitely a fun part. I don't come in until like the last quarter of the play. So kind of my character is a mystery until then, because pretty much everybody that the groom interacts with asks, well, hey, how are you? But also how is Molly doing? And so until I come in, it's kind of like, well, who is this girl? What is she doing? We've heard good things and bad things. Is she going to kind of be just a crazy, you know, rhymes with witch? Or is she going to be this sweet girl that we're all like, oh, yeah, get married?
It's nice that we are on the radio and not television, because we can keep up that sense of mystery. Nobody knows what you look like right now.
Yeah. Well,
except those who have seen the poster.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So to the seven of you, thank you.
Well, okay. Mike, what's your role in the production?
I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm not going to lie. I think my character is the keystone of this play, because... Without me, the cog, yeah, there you go. Without me, this would not be happening.
He's a punchline.
Yeah, I'm a fantastic punchline. I play Brian. I am the best man. And for some reason, I wonder why Brian was the best man. But other times I see why he was. I don't want to give everything away. I mean, I'm trying to not spoil alert, all that stuff. But... it's going to be fun. It's going to be a great time. You guys are going to really enjoy it.
Tim, what are you up to in the play? What's your role?
I'm the father of the groom, and there's one other mystery woman in the play who is my wife. You'll just have to come see who plays her. And I get to kind of run in and out of this play and tie different elements together. The two people who aren't here are really the main characters. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see what they have to say later on, because there's one of the actors who is the groom is on. I don't think he's ever off stage, is he? He's always on.
He is off the stage for Brian's really big scene. But other than that, he literally doesn't leave or hopefully sit down.
And Yara, what are you doing in this play?
So I get to, first of all, provide physical abuse to my brothers. So that's pretty exciting. I play a middle sister, and I feel as though I bring a special accountability to the play. You know, there's a couple places where, you know, I just don't allow anything to slide with my brothers. And so I'm excited to be able to show the community what it's like to be a woman with two brothers.
She brings the sass.
Yeah. I think that's sounds like a perfect role for you, tailor made.
Thanks, Jack.
Yeah. You're the younger, older sister of the groom, the main character?
I am the older sister of the groom.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the people who aren't here, I guess I'm kind of curious. Do you guys have anything good or bad to say about them?
A lot bad to say about
them. I thought so, yeah.
I hope they're listening.
We don't have enough time for that.
No.
The laundry list is here, though, if you guys want to.
The FCC will find you.
There are not enough loofahs in the world to scrub away the shame.
They're actually, it's Dan Simons and Ken Wood and Eric Bond, who are actually all great in spite of our jesting. They just had prior commitments.
Yeah. Those are familiar names. Has everyone in, I know some of these people in here have definitely acted before, because I've seen you in here when we were talking about maybe Waiting for Godot or something like that. But is acting something that you guys have been doing for a long time? Is this your first experience, second experience? What's your acting history?
Hi, my name is Nicole, and I'm a first-time thespian. Mm-hmm. It's nice to meet all of you.
Hi, Nicole.
And my name is Yara Frank, and this is my world premiere.
Wow.
Like cold feet.
And this is Tim, and I'm about 30 years older than everybody else in this room, and I've done this more than once.
He doesn't look it, guys. He looks fantastic.
This is your first time, the two of you. How did each of you get involved? What made you decide that this is the time I got to take to the stage?
Well, we knew the right people, and so we kind of had the in. Whether or not we deserve to be on stage, I guess, is yet to be seen. But yeah, you know, you just know the right people, and they get to know you, and you get to know them, and they go, "Hey, we think you'd be great for this,"
and
you
don't mess up.
Go, thank you. Please don't kill me if this does happen to be a huge disaster, which it won't, because we're in it now.
Basically, we're the backbone.
Yes, exactly. Really? We're the only two women in the play, and if we weren't there, obviously there would be no wedding, or this would take place in a different state.
Mm-hmm. There's a lack of confidence in this cast is just astounding. You can tell.
So I grew up with Maddie, who is the director and producer, and I feel like this whole situation was a sparkle in the eye when we were throwing cow pies at each other on Dufort Road. I feel like that's really where my acting career began.
So that was Tuesday. What's happened since?
Is this a normal North Idaho thing?
You pretended to like me all those years ago, so you were practicing already.
Yes, exactly. So I guess you're right. My acting career began long ago.
No, I have to say that I am really impressed by the cast. I really, really am. And this one of the reasons this one is so much fun is I think it is definitely one of Chris is probably the funniest thing Chris has written. And this cast is coming together around it really, really well. So it's really a lot of fun to do this.
We're as dysfunctional offstage as we are on stage. So it's
and hair removal creams will spike in sale after this play. FYI.
Oh my. Well, okay.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm lost.
Yeah. That's
the most horrifying teaser ever.
Yeah. So the play Cold Feet. I've got my little brother's coming to town next weekend. Is it appropriate for all ages? What's your target audience here?
You know, we do recommend a little bit of discretion because there is some language. Overall, I think that it's a pretty audience-friendly show and everything. So as long as you know, people go into it knowing that there's a little bit of language, I think that it's appropriate for most audiences. Maybe not all audiences.
Okay.
How little is your little brother?
Well, he is actually he's 18 years old. So
he play World of Warcraft? I think he can handle this.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. He might listen to this podcast later. So, Trip, clear your schedule next weekend. You're on. We're going. The play Cold Feet is about a wedding. Is this does this come from any personal experience, Chris? Or where'd you come up with the idea?
I was watching Diner one Saturday morning.
I love that movie. You're talking about the movie.
Diner, the
right?
movie, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's that part where Mickey Rourke asks Ellen Barkin to fix the top button on his shirt. And literally that's where this play came from. I don't know why.
That's but,
yeah,
just
about
tie
it.
My tie.
Yeah, that's something a specific
about it.
Spark.
Yes, it really was. Like, I don't know why it happened. Now, in the interim, the funny thing about it is, after the play was written, Maddie and I got engaged, and about 3 weeks ago, got married. So it wasn't meant to be autobiographical. The fact that she married me after having written a play called Cold Feet is amazing. But it wasn't at the time autobiographical, and then things dovetailed. In a really fun way.
Did you find any? Did your own wedding mirror this this play at all? Were there any
in every way?
Yeah.
No, not at all. The circumstance of the play is very different from ours. And you know, there's a lot of tension and a lot of kind of questions and stuff that come up in the play. And for us, it was very much low key and quiet and simple.
All yeses.
And, yeah.
All yeses. Yeah. Except for the fire alarm. That was fun.
That was fun. That was an adventure.
Yeah, oh. We had one bad thing. Somebody may have set off a fire alarm accidentally. But Maddie and I had two rules. Show up on time, answer in the affirmative.
Who set off the fire alarm?
Chris's best man's son, who is 2 and a half.
Oh, okay.
Three. Mm-hmm.
That's forgivable. So. That's an age, you know. Yeah.
The caterers had just showed up with the food. I was horrified. I was like, oh no, all that money. I mean, food.
Uh-huh. No sprinklers food. Or anything though, right?
No,
just
no.
The alarm.
Just the very, very loud alarm that sounded through the entire building.
Go ahead.
Except for the dressing room, which was a blessing because Maddie still needed to get ready. And that was the one room where there was no fire alarm because it was about the size of the room we're in now, maybe a little bigger, and everybody probably would have been bleeding from the ears and eyeballs by the time that she was ready to get married. So that was probably the highlight of that situation.
And they did get the fire alarm turned off by the time the guests started showing up, so that was good.
Except my grandma, who was enjoying the situation thoroughly because a nice, strapping young fireman pushed her into the church in her wheelchair. She was loving it.
That's interesting, too, because the this play takes place in the waiting room of the church. So,
That is true. It's the same venue, even. So even though our wedding took place on the stage of the Heartwood Center, and this play also takes place at the Heartwood Center.
So. You guys got married at the Heartwood Center?
We did, yeah.
All right. Well, that's pretty cool.
We've done all of our productions there for the last 2 or 3 years, so it seemed like the thing to do.
Right.
I can see the childbirth podcast from the stage of the Heartwood Center in a few years.
I don't know if he's going to be there, but I won't.
The world premiere of Madeline and Chris's first child together.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm busy that day.
You have done several performances at the Heartwood Center. How long, I guess, run me through I don't know, what's putting on a play like in a small town like Sandpoint? And how long have you guys been rehearsing? How long since you wrote the play? When did you start casting?
We started yesterday.
Yeah.
So we think it's going to be solid.
Mm-hmm.
So the play was written originally over about 10 weeks. Between November 14 and January of 15. That was the first draft, which was awful. And then over the course of last year, I rewrote it a few times and it got slowly better. Though it's only good, again, if you come see it and laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Pressure's on you people.
Awful to write or awful to read?
It was, well, all.
Yeah.
But it slowly got, like, the writing of it got better, and the actual quality of it, I think, got a little better. So it takes about a year, I would say, to do from beginning to end. And as far as casting it goes, I think we cast it. Yeah, I don't know, director, when did we cast it?
We had most of our cast by last April. We had some people in mind for some of the roles. We did have a couple of cast members that we ended up having to replace because of just outside circumstances and things like that. But once the cast came together and everything, it was really exciting. I'm really enjoying all of the people who are in here. I'm very proud of everybody, especially my new girls. You know, they're really doing a great job. And so the process, like, Once the casting happens and the rehearsals start, it usually is about 6 to 8 weeks from when we open a show.
And how much of that time, in this case, you had a lot more time because you had the roles in mind in April.
We did our we did our first like read through in April with a tentative cast. We didn't actually start actual rehearsals until probably November.
Okay.
Toward the end of November. And so then like over the holidays and everything, it was very sporadic. People traveling, still sporadic with people traveling and being out of town and things like that. So we had probably two rehearsals a week for a long time, and then until actually our wedding, and then we kind of picked up the rehearsal schedule a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. You were rehearsing where at? Just in
mostly at our house.
Yeah.
The folks at Evans Brothers have been kind enough to let us use their space on Monday nights after they close. And Wednesdays, now we are doing at the charter school, but only last week and this week for those days. And then next week we'll be in the theater.
Okay.
And practicing in the actual space.
Right. So. Have you done it on stage yet?
I mean, sort of. On the stage? We had we had like our photo shoot and everything that we did at the Heartwood Center, just so we could use the space, because it's a big space, to set up and everything. And so we did do kind of a run through while we were there. So everybody has been on the stage and seen the space and things like that. But it'll be a lot different once we actually get all of the props and the set put together and everything like that for everybody to kind of get used to next week.
Is there, does everybody like, I don't know, is it like a real play? Do you have to hit your marks and stuff? Do you have to go stand in a specific spot?
You basically pour drinks every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's, when in doubt, go to the bar.
That's very true. Chris tends like to write very...
Weddings I've been to.
Chris tends to write very dialogue-driven plays. So the set is usually minimal. There's not a lot of set changes. And blocking tends to be kind of relaxed. Blocking is the actual movements that you have to do while you're on stage.
Okay.
To get from point A to point B. There are things like characters interacting where, you know, you have to be on a certain side of somebody for something to work out. And but there's some flexibility with it too, especially with kind of a bare bones set and things like that. There's a lot of wandering. And yes, one of the things that we stage in pretty much every show is a bar so that people have something to do while they're wandering around on stage.
But you guys are pretty free to move. I mean, to take your scenes kind of where you want them to go? Or is she a strict director?
That's part of the fun of it, is kind of the dancing that's going on. And you know where you have to be by the end of the scene, but you may be in a bit of a different spot getting there than you may have been before. And that kind of helps keep it fresh. It's not, doesn't get automatic and people aren't marching around doing what they think they have to do instead of being the character. So
it keeps it very natural and it allows you to focus mostly on the dialogue, which, like the director said, is the key point to this play.
The only rule is don't sit down for too long because then you're boring. Nobody wants to be boring.
No.
Or look in the mirror for too long because then you're vain and that's just weird.
Completely normal with me.
You're not the only one.
But Maddie is a benevolent dictator. That's how I would term
Thank
her.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's so nice.
I'd vote for you.
Thank you.
Oh, wait. Dictators don't work like that, do
they? You wouldn't have that chance. I have to vote for her. Yeah.
You don't get, like it. You don't get to vote, but you'll like me. That's one of the nice things about doing an original play is you do have a lot of room to change things and kind of fool around with things and stuff, which... some members of the cast of this show, more than others, are very guilty of. We end up with a lot of new material and new jokes and, you know, things that aren't originally in the script because they have that opportunity to kind of riff through things and stuff. And I like to let people do that to a pretty high degree, I think. Like, at a certain point, it's like, okay, rein it in. Mm-hmm. Bring it back to, you know, kind of center a little bit. But when you're doing a play that's been written by someone else, you have to be very specific to the script and everything. And so one of the things that we really enjoy about doing original plays is the fact that there's a lot of room for interpretation.
Yeah.
For instance, I believe the term vegetarian vomit was coined during rehearsals in this play.
To replace green gym sock.
Yes.
Okay. So that's interesting. So you got the script was written, but it wasn't really finalized until now, if now.
Hopefully it's now. Still not finalized.
Wow.
It probably won't be finalized really in the true sense of the word. There will be differences in every show. There will be different jokes. There will be different kind of things that some people like to kind of throw against the wall and see if it sticks. It doesn't always.
Mm-hmm.
So you should come to all four nights is basically what she's saying.
Right. And, and it is. It's a different experience every time because it's one of the things, even when you're doing something that has kind of stricter guidelines with live theater, it's one of the fun things about it. But with this show, there's definitely some changes that will happen over the course of the performances.
Hmm. Let's take a quick musical break because I just realized the time is flying and it's already 8:30. It is the birthday of Margie and Marianne Ganzer, who are the vocalists for the Shangri-Las, born on this date in 1947. And the proud owners of this hit from 1964, this is Leader of the Pack, and you're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. We'll be back with more from the Unknown Locals right after this. Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of The Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show. Hey, you're listening to 88.5 KRFY, and that was the Shangri-Las with Leader of the Pack. It is, after all, Margie and Marianne Ganzer's birthday. They're the vocalists for the Shangri-Las. That was a number one hit in the United States in 1964. And we were talking with the unknown locals. Well, okay, Chris and Madeline, are we talking to the unknown locals? Is this the unknown locals? Are you the unknown locals?
Technically, the two of us are.
The two of you.
The two of us are the unknown locals.
I see.
But we know them.
Yeah,
and we've worked with a lot of the same people in a lot of our shows. So there are people who are honorary unknown locals.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, technically, the actual organization is the two of us.
Is the two of you. Do you have a... Do the players have their own organization?
We unionized?
Yeah, you should figure something out. Yeah.
We're fighting Jan, for Chris health and insurance.
Ulcer group.
We should be getting bonuses soon. I'm pretty sure of that, right?
The second we get paid, you'll get paid.
Sandpoint.
Players Guild.
Players Guild, yep. SAG affiliate.
Yep.
It's actually That's Play Us Guild. There's no ERS, it's just an A at the end.
Okay.
You're fired. The same.
Skanked up actors.
Yeah, the Sandpoint Players.
That has a nice ring to it.
It does.
Yeah. We should get business cards.
I'm
looking at a nice silhouette.
Get right on
t-shirts.
The unknown locals have now done four of Chris's plays. You've written five. I understand.
So I wrote five. One we produced with what was Sandpoint on Stage, the first one, and then the other four, which we've done yearly, have all been as unknown locals, which is fun because we associate our, or that's what we called ourselves, and it is the two of us technically, but we do have other people that we consider definitely part of the group. The person most identified with the unknown locals name is a gentleman named Michael Bigley, who directed our Macbeth show, which is by far the most successful show that we've ever done. Most people think that he is the unknown local, which I think is awesome, which is one of the reasons I picked the name.
He's a lot cuter than Chris. That's why.
Everyone's a lot cuter than Chris. Dan's not here. I'll say it.
That's what we talked about. We have talked about Macbeth on the on the show before. I'm glad to hear that that went off well. So the Unknown Locals have been around, I guess, for about 4 years then.
Yeah.
It sounds like.
About, I think we actually like founded the company 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, we've, since the first show, even the show that we did with Sandpoint on Stage, we've been doing shows together.
Yeah.
So that was in spring of 2012.
And
so
you,
4 years.
You always use the Heartwood Center since there has been a Heartwood Center?
We moved over to the Heartwood Center a couple of years ago. We did the first couple of shows at the Little Theater at the Panada.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then once the Heartwood Center kind of came available to us and stuff, we've had a really great relationship with them, and we really enjoy that space, and we're glad to bring people into it and kind of help share it with people and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So the four originals that you've done, in addition to that, you do other plays as well. You put on other plays.
We do. Yeah. We did Macbeth and Waiting for Godot.
Mm-hmm.
And and Sylvia. That's right. Sorry. Don't whisper to me.
Mm-hmm.
So we do, and we like to be open to other projects that people bring to us and stuff like that if we can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always fun to kind of work with other materials and stuff like that too.
How many performances do you think you've been putting on a year? Seems like three a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most years we've been able to get three in. Any more than that, we tend to crowd the other events in town, and
mm-hmm.
any less than that, it kind of feels like we're being lazy and not doing anything. So
you found a nice rhythm with about three a year, I guess.
Yeah.
The play that you are about to put on is called Cold Feet. Do you know what you're going to do after that? Do you already have ideas, or do you do one at a time?
We do have some ideas, nothing concrete yet. We don't really have anything really solid, but we are looking into a handful of different projects. So Chris is working on another original that we're hoping we might be able to stage this year. And we have a couple other people who have suggested other projects to us.
Mm-hmm.
So,
have you done, other than Chris's plays, have you done other local playwrights works at all, or do you do more?
We've both been involved with Ben Olson's plays
mm-hmm.
over the last couple of years. He writes really wonderful, funny
mm-hmm.
things, and we always have a really great time working with him.
Waiting for the next one, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hint, hint.
Right.
What else have we done?
Those are Ben's, though. We don't produce those. Those are all Ben's from kind of top to tail. We've done some originals that Teresa Pesci wrote back when Sandpoint on Stage was going. But other than that, as far as I know, there's not a whole lot of other playwrights who are active in town. It's something I think that would be fun that we'd love to do under the right circumstances. But mine are free, and I don't care if anybody butchers them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that definitely... We're accountable to me at this point, and I'm pretty flexible.
Augment, not butcher.
Right. Mm-hmm. Improve. Oh.
This is that augmentation idea is kind of fun. Is that because you are here in town? I mean, you hear about improvisation on, you know, on movie sets and television shows, but with plays, seems like usually you are fixed into the script. By the time the script is written, it's on. Am I?
If you're performing someone else's,
right.
That is generally the case.
Yes.
And we've worked on plays that by the time the show opens, we are technically supposed to be word for word, but we still fool around with it in rehearsals and
mm-hmm.
Kind of just riff on things and stuff. But with the original plays, again, it's nice because you can kind of take a lot of liberties with it.
We're lucky. We know funny people.
Mm-hmm.
And I am always open to somebody taking something that I've written and somebody trying to or being able to make it funnier. That's really all I care about.
Yeah.
So if somebody has an idea, and I'm always open to it when I've directed. Maddie seems to be very much along the same lines now that she's directing. And there's no sense in having something locked in. I don't have the ego or the pride, I guess, to make people say what I wrote. As long as they can make it funnier, I really don't care what they say, as long as they eventually get to where they're supposed to be.
Every word is precious.
Mm-hmm. It's my poetry.
No, it's interesting, too, that I grew up in a town about the same size as Sandpoint back in Iowa. And I was in a lot of plays there, and I don't recall ever being in an original play in a town of 8,000 people. And we're talking about original playwrights here and say, why don't we have any more? I think if you've lived here a long time, you sort of take this for granted. There's this many venues, there's this much material that's being written here. Mm-hmm. This doesn't happen in towns of 8,000 people anywhere else that I'm aware of, unless, you know, it's just a pretty incredible place. And it gets supported pretty well, too.
Sandpoint is pretty good about, it seems like, most creative pursuits. Yeah. It's a high per capita artist to population ratio. Chris, it's a comedy. You've also, are you strictly interested in comedy, or where do you?
Yes. Ultimately, yes. I like, usually like Maddie said early on, I usually write kind of darker things. I really enjoy like kind of dark comedy because I think it's the most enjoyable. I think it's the when you laugh at something that's really kind of bleak surrounding it, it's the best kind of laugh. But this one is a bit more straight ahead comedic. But yes, there's so much horror in the world that I really have no interest in adding to it. If I can provide just a little bit of levity, even if it's making somebody, I don't know, slap Ken Wood repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
Elbow to the gut.
Even if that's what it takes. Like, if I can make somebody smile who's having to stare at the mugs that are on CNN and Fox, then I've provided something that I feel is beneficial. And I have no desire to add tragedy or drama. I'm not looking for truth or anything like that. I just want to make you giggle. See?
Mm-hmm. We are talking to the Sandpoint players and the unknown locals, and you're listening to 88.5 KRFY.
T-shirts are in production and will be for sale.
Stickers, coasters. Mm-hmm.
We'll do birthday parties too.
Deck designs.
Mm-hmm. Birthday parties for the over 18 crowd, FYI.
This is why the scripts never stay unchanged.
Yeah. I do have a question for the players. Thank you, Yaro, for this one. Why don't we start with you? What are you most nervous about for this performance?
There's been a lot of build up to this hitting of Ken Wood. And I don't know if anyone out there can relate to this, but when I was in middle school and I would play badminton or volleyball, I would hit the thing too hard.
What is badminton?
Oh, really?
What is that?
Really?
It's a game the English play.
You've actually been excommunicated from the players.
It's like tennis, but silly.
Yeah. You played with a shuttlecock. Yeah.
You said that on the radio.
Sorry, continue. We'll talk about this later.
Yeah.
So anyway, I would hit things repeatedly too hard. So I think I was picked last a lot for that issue. So I'm most fearful of drawing blood. I'm very scared of that. So I'm going to bring my first aid kit.
Okay.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Well, all right. That's, I guess that is something that to be nervous about, if that's a real concern. I hope.
Well, remind me to never give you a high five.
Yeah. Anyone else particularly nervous for this play, or is it comfortable? I mean, is it you, Tim? You've been on stage. Sounds like you've been on stage your whole life. So this is.
I don't think you ever get over being nervous. It's an amazing thing to me. The closer you get, the more your heart starts pounding, and I don't know if that's the reason that I do it or not. I think my greatest nervousness right now is my son and his family are going to be here from Georgia visiting for the third performance, and no one in my family has seen me on stage for a very, very long time. So, you know, it's I've seen Chris backstage wilting when his family is sitting in the front row. And I've always thought, that's kind of stupid. Why would anybody feel it? Now I've got my son and his wife showing up, and it's...
If they don't like it, they will ridicule you forever. Holidays, birthdays, Thursdays.
I feel like a kindergartner getting up to sing in front of everybody. You know, it's one of those kinds of deals.
Mike, what are you most nervous about? You have one of the bigger parts.
Yeah, I would just have to say that I'm really nervous about the massive amount of lines I've had to memorize. I mean, I didn't know how I was going to pull through it. So, but I think I've got it. I've had to do some therapy.
It's been rough.
I've been drinking a lot more.
Well, you're kind of stellar at forgetting things.
It is
kind of your thing.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. But you know what? If it goes all wrong, then everyone come give me a hug at the nearest bar. So
buy him a beer, shot of whiskey.
But all joking aside, it's just like what Tim said. You get really excited before the curtain opens, and once you get on that stage, it's a huge rush, and that's really the only thing I'm nervous about. I mean, it's a blast working with these people. I mean, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Well, truth be told, I'm kind of nervous because I'm not nervous. I was that person in high school and college where, you know, you had to take mandatory speech class and you'd get up in front of the class and some people were just so charismatic and beautiful and you're just sitting there like, you know, hyperventilating into a paper bag and, you know, you get up and you're shaky and you forget things and I don't feel like that. So I'm kind of nervous about the unknown. So I'm like, okay, I'm not nervous about being out there, but what is going to throw me off right before I go out on stage and all of my lines are just going to go blank, or, you know, I'm going to see all my coworkers who are just going to be sitting there making faces at me. Don't do it, guys.
Don't. You get solitary confinement before the show. I'm surprised none of them said that they're, you know, nervous about letting me down.
Oh, yeah.
That's we got because you.
We won't let you down.
I know.
No, and in our union contract, it says that even if we do, it doesn't matter.
There's nothing I can do about it anyway, because once you're out on that stage, my job is done.
Freestyle. We are called the Sandpoint Players.
Yeah.
For a reason. Waka waka.
I'm most nervous. There are three things I'm nervous for. I'm nervous that people won't show up, so don't let me down.
Mm-hmm.
I am nervous before the first laugh happens. That is the most terrifying space of time where it's like lights go up, people go out, people start talking. Until someone laughs, it is just the most stressful, nerve-wracking, self-loathing period of time. And then the first major screw up. There's always one. I'm pretty sure one of the plays took the 70s and possibly later 60s off my life. Yeah, so those three things. Every night. For four nights. Why do we do this?
We have a straitjacket in the waiting room for Chris.
And also some men's hair color, because he goes a bit white every time somebody talks.
Yes, both of my hairs go a bit white.
I don't know if it sounds like the second two problems is going to be on you guys who are in this room, but the first one, whether or not anyone goes to the play, that's out of your hands. Maybe that's something we can help with right now. Where do you get tickets?
Tickets are available at Eve's Leaves. Mm-hmm. They are always very kind to act as a ticket outlet for us. Tickets are $12 general admission and $10 for students and seniors. And there will be tickets, obviously, at the door as well. We actually are able to accept credit cards now, so that's fancy. If you buy them at Eve's Leaves, it is cash or check. But if you buy them at the door, you can pay with a credit card as well. We also accept will calls. So if you contact us on our Facebook page, then we can put you on a will call list in the event that we sell out, which, you know, is always a possibility.
When we sell out.
Ooh. When. Yes. There we go. Love the confidence.
Power of positive thinking.
All four nights.
So if you do choose to get your tickets at the door, they are the doors are at 7, so you can come at 7 o'clock and buy your tickets and have a little glass of wine and get ready to enjoy the show.
or a big glass of wine.
We're so much funnier if you've had a, and I'm willing to mix like a nice rosé. We have red and white, and mm-hmm. I can make pink.
It's kind of like a tequila sunrise of wine.
The show is at the Heartwood Center. Doors at 7 o'clock. Sounds like there's a bar there. That's nice.
Yeah, we do. We serve wine on a donation basis. So okay. That's part of the way that we fund our shows is obviously the ticket sales and then any donations that people are kind enough to give us, either just out of the kindness of their hearts or in exchange for a glass of wine. So it's not like a full bar or anything like that, but you can get wine. So.
Okay. And there will be red and white.
Yes.
And homemade and rosé.
Pink.
Yeah.
If you're feeling adventurous.
And it's right before Valentine's Day.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah, that it's a true. great date night for people looking for something to do for Valentine's weekend.
If you're about to get married, just consider it greatly before you come, though.
In all honesty, if you're going to get married, this play is probably going to make you feel really good about it.
It's prescriptive. It's instructive.
As stressful as your wedding planning is going, it's better than this.
Yeah. And if not, all aside, you get that nice pink wine.
Mm-hmm. So.
For Valentine's Day.
It sounds like a fun group. I mean, it doesn't sound like it doesn't sound like work to be doing this.
The thing about it is none of us take it too seriously.
Yeah.
And that really, I think, is the most important thing. If you take it too seriously, it can really be stressful and it can be not fun anymore. Mm-hmm. It gets to a point where, you know, it just is not enjoyable anymore. And I think that the thing that we have in our favor is the fact that we don't take ourselves too seriously and we don't expect anybody else to either.
Just remember your lines, please.
Don't make up too many new ones in the middle of it. Give your director a stroke.
The play is called Cold Feet. It's a comedy. It's at the Heartwood Center. As Tim said, we are lucky to have this amount of stuff going on in a town of this size. And you can go out and support that. Keep this going on. You'll miss it if it ever goes away. We got to support the arts here in town. Thank you guys for coming in.
You so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks for the time.
Appreciate it. And we'll talk again whenever that next mystery project comes out, whenever the next one is.
Fantastic.
You are listening to 88.5 KRFY. The Monkees were at number one on the UK charts on this date in 1967, and they're
hey, we're the Sanborn Players.
Yeah, I'm not gonna play that song, but it was on this date in 1967 that they hit number one in the UK, their self-titled debut album. This is Daydream Believer by the Monkees on 88.5 KRFY. This is 88.5 KRFY, and I just walked the unknown locals out of the studio. A talkative bunch, to say the least. You are listening to The Morning Show, and coming up on next Tuesday, February 9th, you can join Susie and Chris for the Tuesday edition. Jim Healy and Phil Huff, will be talking about long-distance hiking. Jim Healy, of course, the usual host of this space, the KRFY Morning Show on Thursdays, who has taken a healthy sabbatical to go hike the Appalachian Trail. You can hear all about that. It will be a fascinating program if you are at all interested in the out-of-doors. That's Tuesday, February 9th at 8 a.m. on KRFY. I do have the upcoming events for this weekend right in front of me, but we are close to out of time. So let me run through just a couple of the highlights. Tonight and through the weekend, or the 6th and 7th at the Panetta Theater, there's a film, Youth, which is a nominated for the Oscar for Best Achievement in Music for its original song, Simple Song Number 3. The film's all-star cast includes Michael Caine, Harvey Keitel, Rachel Weisz, and Jane Fonda. Screenings are at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, that's tonight, and then also on Saturday and Sunday. You can learn more and buy tickets at panada.org. At the Pondere Winery on the 5th, that's tomorrow night, the Flying Mammals from down in Coeur d'Alene are playing at the winery. It's a trio of brothers performing earnest and melodic songs that have been striking a huge chord with audiences everywhere. I'm going to be looking for a CD so I can play them on Thursday evenings or Tuesday evenings as well. Calling all lizard lovers, join acclaimed wildlife educator Beth Paragamian and her slithering friends for a memorable presentation on reptiles and amphibians at 6 p.m. in the Wildlife Building at Bonner County Fairgrounds. That's on Friday the 5th, sponsored by the Kinnicksu Land Trust. Attendance to the free event is limited to the first 65 who RSVP by calling 263-9471. It's also free first Saturday at the Bonner County Historical Museum this Saturday. That's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Bonner County History. I have been down to, I did finally make it down to one of those free first Saturday events, and I was very glad that I did. The Bonner County Historical Museum is incredibly impressive for, it's an impressive museum, period, but it's also much more than you would expect for a county museum of this size. In a town of this size. Going on this weekend, here's the big highlight for Priest Lake is the Sled Dog Races. The Inland Empire Sled Dog Association is sponsoring the Priest Lake Sled Dog Races from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the intersection of Highway 57 and Raven Ranch Road. The race classes feature sprint, mid-distance, and ski joring. To learn more, visit iesda.org or call 683-2387. And then here's a big highlight for Saturday. The American Heritage Wildlife Foundation is holding, drumroll please, a cheesecake tasting fundraiser at 1 p.m. That's in the Fellowship Hall of the Clark Fork Methodist Church. Each ticket is allows you two samples of gourmet cheesecake flavors, including key lime, white chocolate, orange sherbet, huckleberry, caramel macchiato, German chocolate, caramel apple, Oreo cookie, chocolate, New York cheesecake, and many more. Tickets are available in advance at AHWF. Evergreen Supply, Burnt Offerings, and Monarch Market, plus at the door. Hot coffee and tea is also provided. Call 266-1488 for more details about that. Finally, the Rogue Audio Mechanics are playing at the Pondere Winery on the 6th from 5 p.m. until 8 p.m. There is plenty more going on in town, but you're going to have to go to sandpointonline.com for more information about that. Thanks to Sandpoint Online for our calendar. This has been the KRFY Morning Show. I've now gone long, so I'm going to make way for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long. Thanks again to Chris, Madeline, Tim, Yarrow, Nicole, and Mike for coming up and talking about the upcoming play Cold Feet that's at the Heartwood Center. Not this weekend, but next weekend and the following weekend. And that's the morning show. Thanks for tuning in.